great to have you all here this morning. I realize that some of you will be in the Adult 2 class when it starts to meet. This is the weekend where we've got everyone out of town, and so we appreciate you being here for at least this one class. We'll have outlines of all the material and obviously post it online. What I want to talk about in this series is a very simple series, but it's a really important one. It's just dealing with the study of the local church. What does the Lord want concerning a local church? And so we're going to look at foundational things, not everything that we could talk about, but obviously your participation will be appreciated, and we can go extra directions if we need to in the study of this subject. This morning, I really want to deal with the importance of a local church. I cannot emphasize enough that this is not a trivial question. There are many today that feel like the local church is something optional, it is something that's not very significant, but it really is. And so that's why the title of the lesson, The Local Church and Your Spiritual Future. One of the things, when you talk about a local church, this is where we live. This is where we really make connections and associations. This is a really important choice in terms of the molding of character for you and me and others. You read in the Old and New Testament about the importance of relationships, whether or not it's a bad or good relationship. Proverbs 12:3, it says, a man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. Woman's life is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. You know, as we talk about relationships outside of becoming a Christian, what's the most important choice you will make if you outside of becoming a Christian? Who you marry? And I might say, maybe the third most important choice. And we might even put it up there with the Lord himself, too. I'm just off the top of my head here. But up along those lines is choosing a local church. Because there's a path of direction that your mate will be going. Hopefully you're going to serve the Lord together. There's a path and direction that local churches take. And sometimes they change directions. But just here we have the idea of our relationships. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. I'll have to tell you, this subject's pretty emotional to me, probably to many of you. If you've ever had to leave a local church, if you've ever had to make decisions concerning where to attend, and you've had some tough ones. I had to do this as a new Christian. Within the first 2 years of my becoming a Christian, I had to struggle and make choices. And so we want to lay some foundations to those kind of decisions. And I think it's really, really important. As Psalms 1 puts it this way, our goal is to be with God's people and to be with people going to heaven, with people who have Jesus as their head. In the Old Testament, it's put this way, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I can't help but look back at the decisions I made 30 years ago. And it's pretty amazing to me where one congregation was then and where it is now. I left because, really, I couldn't get them to study the Bible with me, basically. They were afraid of open Bible study. But it's interesting to where that church ended up. And I would say that when we talk about choosing a mate, choosing a congregation, again, going back to choosing a mate, 1 Peter 3:7 talks about you should be heirs of life together in your marriage. But that's what local churches should be. People zealous for the Lord, determined to do his will, not arrogant, not caught up in some blind traditionalism, but willing to always have a heart open and to learn. Now, brethren, I'm not saying, as I talk about the local church, and we've got six lessons, and I'm not going to be going into some doctrinal questions very seriously till later in the studies. I'm not saying that local churches have everything right. But I am saying that local churches need to have a dedication to the Lord and a willingness to follow wherever he leads. And so understand that. The same thing in marriage. We're not perfect. We're still growing. We're still learning. But relationships is a decision of where I'm going to be a part of a group and I'm going to be a part of people within that group. Do you make new relationships when you become part of a local congregation? Do you? I hope so. Now, I realize some may not and keep everybody at arm's length, but you become part of a local church, you begin to make new friendships. And you know, we're social people. God made us that way. And we want to share things with one another. We want to have common values. We want to be able to go forward together. It's just like a good home. You want to have an honest and open relationship. And yes, you may have some disagreements within those relationships, and you work through that, but you end up with people that really have a power on you, an effect on you, and you on them when the church functions as it ought to. For instance, 1 Corinthians 12, you're familiar with the verse. But the Bible talks about that in a local church, if our relationship's as it is, you know, something happens to you, good or bad, it affects us. In 1 Corinthians 12, 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. So, again, just an introduction. When we choose to become part of a local church, we become part of a family. We begin to have relationships. We begin to open up our hearts to others, and others open up their hearts to us. We need to be sure we're going in the right direction. Because you know what's hard? I'll tell you what's hard. You know this. Many of you know this. I'm looking out here, and many of you have had to pay prices like I've done. It's hard, isn't it? When you see a congregation going in the wrong direction and you decide you've got to leave, that's not easy, is it? The pulling away of close relationships, the pulling away of people that you really care about, but you're not able to resolve something that is absolutely crucial in terms of the will of God. That is not something that you do lightly. Do you know what a lot of people do? If you don't have a strong dedication to the Lord, what typically ends up happening? You just go along. And that's not what you want to have happen. We want to have Christ as our head. We want to be sure we're going in the Lord's path. Now, some of them may say, well, look, I'm just not going to be a member of a local church. And we have people that do that. That you're not going to identify with a local church or attend a local church, and I'm just going to be by myself in my home. Could I say that? The Lord gave local churches. Is there any command to be part of a local church? No command, so I guess we're okay being by ourselves, right? Help me, brethren. Again, I don't want to be all lecture here, but is it the Lord's will that I be a part of a local church, and we're talking about a local church that has Christ as their head? Is it God's will? Is it demanded of us? What's that? Okay, it talks about the assembling of ourselves, not to forsake it. So you got to have some kind of group getting together. All right, what else?
When there was teaching on another subject, he said, when you are coming together,
uh-huh.
It was anticipated that you would regularly come together.
Yes.
That sounds like a local congregation.
Yeah. Is there anything in the ministry of Christ that he implemented that he expected all of his followers to do? What's that? Okay. But is there something that Jesus implemented that was new? The Lord's Supper. Guess what? The Lord's Supper, from my study of the Scripture, is only to be implemented within a local church. And so, again, it's not a direct command. This is what we do see. It comes out as a command, but how we reason from Scriptures is when we see there are things that the Lord gives us, that the Lord expects us to do, and when we see this relates to a local church, then I would conclude, yes, I must be part of a local church. And again, we'll develop this as we go along. This is an introduction to the study. But local churches are not optional. God has given local churches for our growth. And if I could say this, is the subject of elders important? Well, the Lord has given instruction in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1 and other verses. You read about elders and shepherds. How important are shepherds? Well, it says, the elders who are among you, by the way, that deals with the local church. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. That's a local church. Who is to do that? The elders, the shepherds. Now notice the purpose of this. Serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, being examples to the flock. Now, what's the goal here? Look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. What would happen? Again, this is a theoretical thing that's not in fact. But what would happen if the Lord had not given any instructions for a local church? If he had just simply said, you become a Christian, be baptized, and left it at that. Again, this is highly speculative, but think about it. What would have happened if you just become a Christian like you would maybe pulling for a football team? Of course, you do have assemblies with that somewhat, but anyway, or something else like that, and that's all you do. What would happen? You know what? I would find that there wouldn't be as many Christians. And that you would have Christians that might become Christians and then what? They get pulled into other things. And brethren, I want to tell you something. We need to be careful about our relationships. We need to be careful about who we're connecting with and what we're really passionate about. Local churches are designed to keep us faithful. They let us grow. And within that, we establish relationships outside the assembly. When a local church functions as it ought to, we're getting help. How many times have you and I come to an assembly and we've heard just the thing we needed? How many times, because we've been within local churches, we've met someone who later became our best friend or maybe who we later married? I still remember the service. I was preaching one Sunday night and up in Sun Valley in Birmingham back in 1983, and there's some family showed up from Montgomery. There was a girl there that needed to be introduced to Birmingham. Her name was Yvette, and I was glad to take on that job. And, you know, that's how we met at an assembly. And so all I'm saying as we look at this, the choice of a local church will have tremendous impact upon your future in this life and upon your future in the life to come. I remember when I was trying to help my brother become a Christian, and then we had to make a choice. I mean, there were some choices of which churches he could attend. At that time, I was studying and seeing there were differences in directions churches were going. And I pointed him into a direction of a church that I knew at that time was standing and teaching. Bill Hall happened to be preaching there in the old 77th Street Church in Birmingham, and sent my brother in that direction. Don't regret doing that. As where later he met his wife, Anita, within the church. And so I'm telling you, I think we know this. The choice of a local church can impact us in our friendships and who we marry and our morality and our doctrine. And so local churches are really, really important. And I say this humbly. There are no perfect local churches. And I'm not saying because a local church is struggling or dealing with a doctrinal matter that they're struggling. Maybe there's some disagreement that you leave local churches. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that we need to be faithful to the Lord. And that we need to understand that a wrong choice here could lead us down the wrong path. Okay, now let's talk about some things about making such a choice. We're talking about discernment. And discernment is something that requires spiritual maturity. I had to try to make some decisions on things like this as a new babe in Christ. I remember I didn't start my first serious Bible study till the summer of 72 when I had graduated from high school. And it was by 1973 that I began to hear, I got to hear the plan of salvation for the first time and was amazed at it and took a stand on that. And I had to leave the denomination in which I was raised. I believe I made the right decision on that. But here's where discernment comes in. I want to have fellowship with God, and I want to do what God wants me to do. In Romans 12, let's have somebody read this morning. I've got through my introduction. I'm going to have a little more interaction here. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Who would like to read for me this morning? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now here is a foundational principle for Christians. In verse 2, to renew the mind. But to renew the mind by making discernment or judgment. That takes maturity. I can remember when I first started reading the Bible. I'd read it and I'd go, I'm not sure I know very much about what I just read. I remember I used to have the old King James. I would be reading that, then I would have a paraphrase, the Good News for Modern Man, and I would read that to the side. But even that paraphrase helped me. I gave emphasis to the King James Version that I was reading. But it took time for me to be able to discern right and wrong, to be able to be familiar enough with the Scriptures where I have confidence that this is right and this is wrong. Isn't that true, brethren? That's true for all of us, isn't it? And if we haven't grown enough spiritually and be familiar enough with Scriptures to be able to reason and discern, these kind of things I'm talking about are going to be nearly impossible. They can be done. I was able to do it. And what I saw more than anything is I was a questions, I actually wanted to defend the church that I was a part of. I wanted to defend them, and they were afraid of me. And I could see, if nothing else in that, in the leadership of that church, that, well, they're not going a good direction. And so, again, that we want to be merciful. We don't want to be, just jumping, like I say, at the bit of just running away from the local church. But I am saying that we need to develop some spiritual maturity. Because if you study church history, if you don't pick up on this, you and your family gets carried right down the line to some very bad ends. I mean, what I've seen in the church that called me out of denominationalism, now they would do right the opposite. Now they've changed the plan of salvation. But at that time, I didn't know that's where they were going to go, but I just saw some things wrong. And I'm not making this up. I remember one time, as a new Christian, there was the two preachers talking in a car. We were going to retreat, and they were talking on this subject of how we can get the elders to attend on Wednesday night. That's how weak their leadership was, you know. And I knew something was wrong, wasn't quite sure what was wrong. And so, but we're talking about spiritual maturity. And so, to me, a big deal for me, this is really big, that we willing to talk, that leadership be willing to be challenged, that we be willing to say, look, let's, on any subject, let's examine this. Let's study this. Let's find a way where we can work together. But above all, we're not going to be offended if you question whether or not we're staying within the will of God. I see that kind of heart. Generally, we can work things out. We can find a way to work together. And I believe that congregation can end up in a good place. But let's suppose somebody's spiritually immature. You know, sometimes people will say, well, let's just get together and study the Bible. Do you know there's a lot of people that are afraid to do that? You know why? Let's suppose, I've been working with one of our young men on learning to play chess better. I like chess, strategy game. But let's suppose I came to you and you didn't know anything about chess. I pulled a chessboard out. Hey, let's play some chess. And I played in tournaments. I've done some other things. I've read chess books. No, thank you. Now, I'm not liking the study of the Bible to playing chess, but if you don't really understand the scriptures, a Bible study might not be very appealing to you. And you may be very afraid. And I don't want to say that. If you're there, okay, this is where you're at. Let's take the next step. Let's start getting familiar with scripture. But one of the problems we have within the church is when you have a large element that is immature and they really don't know how to reason on scripture, they tend to follow that congregation wherever the leadership takes it. And that's not a good thing. So there's the challenge. We've got to learn how to read and apply scripture personally. And Ephesians 4, just making reference, if you're spiritually immature, you're vulnerable, aren't you? It says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. And so, without a foundational knowledge of Scripture, you can go in different directions. And so, anyway. And so you study church history, this is what happens. If you study church history, this happens often. It happened in the Old Testament. It's happened in the New Testament. It's happened in church history. It's happening today. Are we going to be grounded in God's Word and have the patience and love for one another to communicate and talk and stand together? Or do we take the easy road? Quickly, this is just really a brief point here. I'm not going to read these scriptures except acknowledge it. How important is a local church? Local churches involve assemblies. You read in passages about, like 1 Corinthians 14:26, whenever you come together. Again, I'm just scanning these verses. 1 Corinthians 11:20, dealing with the Lord's Supper. When you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. It should have been. They should have followed the instructions in verse 23-24. But notice the Lord's Supper was observed within the assembly, within a local church. The first thing that was done after Christians were baptized, 3,000 obeyed the gospel. In Acts 2:42, the very next thing you see is they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. You become a Christian first, yes, and then the next thing you do, you learn how to worship. You learn how to work with brethren. You learn how to do things that by itself, you look at these terms, it involves local churches. And so again, as we talk about the bulk of the New Testament, there are things the Lord has given, the Lord has instructed through His apostles, the weekly collection. Again, that involves a coming together. Again, I'm just scanning these verses. Local churches, they participated in the work, the support of the Apostle Paul. Where did he get the money to preach? Where did he get the money to live as he did? Well, 2 Corinthians 11:8, I robbed other churches. The continued evangelism, the work of the Lord. This was involved, local churches were involved with this. And so, again, we've already talked about the appointment of elders. And so, again, the New Testament, the bulk of the New Testament is not just something to be cast aside. But this involves local churches and whether or not they're going to take the headship of the Lord and apply these things to their lives. So, okay, again, introductory thing. So now, again, let's talk a little bit. Let's talk broadly. Let's suppose here we are, we've arrived with the Bible, and we've come to this country knowing nothing but what we've got in our Bible. And you start going around and you find out what various groups that call themselves Christians, when they're coming together and they're doing things together, what would be just some basic things? I'm speaking broadly. You would start thinking about if you were trying to determine what local church to be a part of. Now, I'm speaking here broadly amongst the denominations, amongst all groups that claim to be Christians. What are some things that you would look for? How do you know what to look for? What are some things happening right now in the denominational world broadly? What are some things? What are some departures that we see? Okay, question of plan of salvation. Let's make a list. Come on, let's just go ahead. Make a list. The role of women. That's a real big one. What's some more? Instrumental music, the nature of worship, how we handle worship. Give me some more. What's that?
Pastor system. Well, the preacher is.
Oh, yeah, okay. I didn't hear you where. I thought you said circumcision for a moment. It's the pastor system. I was trying to work on that one. Although circumcision was a problem in the early church, they had a question over that. And so biblically, Book of Galatians, we could talk about that. There were some issues. But yeah, the clergy, laity, the pastor system. Some more. What's that? Oh yeah, morality. Homosexuality. There's some more. There's a real big one we haven't hit. It's on my outline. Was the first thing I'd look at. But there's something. What else?
Is the Bible
the
source of direction?
Yeah. And in particular, is the Bible inspired? Brethren, do you understand? We're speaking broadly in the denominational world. What percentage of groups believe the Bible is the inspired, complete, perfect will of God? Are you ready? The minority. And then if it is the inspired word of God, there's a question of whether or not it's all that's necessary. I'll never forget, when I first started studying my Bible on my own, I attended Samford University. You've heard me talk about this many times, but I remember, Samford University, boy, this is a Baptist college, and I've got to take a Bible class. I'll never forget, I was got this Oxford annotated Bible or something like that. I call it the anointed Bible. I remember having to buy this Bible for the class. And you've had a copy of it at your house, so we saw it the other day. And I looked at it and had the Apocrypha in there. I'm looking at that. I'm going like, what is this? Look at all Bel and the dragon. I was looking at the names of these books. And I realized real quickly that well, I may be learning some things I've never heard before. And I ended up with a professor whose doctoral thesis was on 2 Isaiah. You know what that means? He doesn't believe Isaiah wrote Isaiah. And during his class, he would say that Matthew misquoted Isaiah on the virgin birth. There was no prophecy of Christ being born of a virgin. And I just started studying my Bible a few months ago. You know what I did, though? People got really upset at the professor in class, but I just went back to my dorm room, and I just opened the scripture and looked at it, and I said, whatever the Bible says is what I'm going to accept. But are you seeing what I'm saying? I know of friends of mine, relatives of mine, that went to Samford University, and they came out agnostics or atheists. They came in with a belief in the Bible, and by the time they got through the theological part of that, they came out something very different. The relationships affected them. And so all I'm saying here, brethren, I'm not trying to be all spooky and scary, but we need to keep our mind and hearts open more than anything in the world to the words delivered by Jesus to the apostles and prophets. Brethren, may it never be that we're going to be part of a church. We've been a part of church all of our life. My parents have been here. My relatives have been here. And we're always going to be here. Well, you don't know what direction the leadership may go. They may be fine in the past. But they may not be in the present. And so local churches, as important as they are, they're not greater than the Lord. And I like how Jesus put it. In John 3:19, here is the attitude of a Christian, and pray of the attitude of a local church that is serving the Lord. In John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. That really is, if you have that at the root of a group, we're going to be okay. We may not resolve things all at once, and we may have some things we work with for a long time, but we'll find a way in our collective work where we can work together. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Later on in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I love it. Love verse 23. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. You know, it's interesting. I just go back in my memory. I have faded memories of when I first became a Christian. But there were some fantastic speakers that came in at this church that was, I believe, going in the wrong direction. But they had some great men to come in. I know some of you know the name Gus Nichols. We've gotten older. A lot of people don't know who Gus is anymore. But, you know, but Gus would come in, and he had been involved in debates and reasoning. He'd preach for an hour and a half. It didn't seem like he'd only gone 30, 40 minutes. And that made a great impression on me. Here, he was a man, from his very teaching, that had been his emphasis. Now, I later disagreed with Gus on some things. But Gus, what he was doing in his foundation that I experienced, he was trying to plant this idea that Christians, we need to discern doctrine. We need to stand. And see, I appreciate that. Now, I have to tell you, my background was math and science, so I always kind of like to derive things. You know, I was always kind of the person that lets reason, let's be able to take the evidence, let's take the data, let's reason, let's harmonize things, let's bring things together to what's right and wrong. And so, you know, the idea of challenging something, that was, yeah, let's do that. If it's truth that we're after, then yeah, there's a spirit in which we can study and test. But now, one more time, brethren. Discernment like this takes time. I know that. As a shepherd of this congregation, one of the shepherds, we have people who can do that, and we've got some who can't. We're trying to get everybody up to speed, but, you know, there's some that really they couldn't debate or discuss a topic and reason through it. It's more emotion-based or relationship-based. And so I understand that this is something that requires time. First, Bill? Okay. And so, that's really the core of what I wanted to bring to you this morning, is that we've got to learn how to discern what the Lord's will is. By the way, now, I want to mention something to you for those who may not be back in this class. I did add some extra material at the end, and I want you to understand that this article that I've got back here, written by Floyd Decker, that you've got to read this article with some historical understanding here. The article was why he left the Christian church, and I'm using this article as an illustration of changes that can occur. The way the article is read, you may read this and draw some wrong conclusions from it. I don't necessarily agree with everything that the implications you may draw from this article. That there's some statements without definition that, you know, people get the wrong idea. So don't take this article as some kind of creed. I think the article shows an attitude and the kind of changes that occur, but unless you understand the context and the meaning of what he's saying, you can draw a lot of wrong conclusions. I've had people see that article and say, well, you believe this, or you doing this? No. Don't take the article that way. So I'm just saying, if you're not able to be back in this class, we're going to talk about it next week, just briefly, but only as an illustration of how over 30, 40, 50 years, when churches change their foundation, there's all kinds of changes that come, and we've seen already within the denominational world that the things that we've talked about. And I'm sorry to say, in the church, every one of those changes we talked about, that's going to be a struggle in local churches as well. And so stay with the foundation. Any questions or comments? Okay. Maybe we'll get more discussion later, but y'all didn't have a chance to look over this outline. I've kind of brought, but again, appreciate you being a part of this, and hopefully we can be encouraged to better understand God's will. We're going to be 6 lessons in this series, and we'll have printed outlines to all of them. Thank you for your participation today.